You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Friday edition. We do have some breaking news, and when I first heard it on the radio, I didn't believe it, but apparently it is true. James Comey sent a letter to various committees investigating his handling of the Clinton email situation, and it looks like they have more evidence. That's the essence of the letter, that in an unrelated case, and it's more or less leaked out, it concerns Anthony Weiner. Yes, that congressman that had to resign and at one time was leading the race for mayor of New York until he had to drop out. He's being investigated by the FBI concerning his sex messaging photographs that he sent to apparently a minor, but in reviewing a computer that the FBI obtained from him, they found a number of emails when they looked at the metadata that involved the Department of State. Now, that for those that are unfamiliar with the situation, for upwards of 20 years, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, now candidate Hillary Clinton, her closest advisor, assistant, has been sort of like a second daughter, Huma Abedin, who married Anthony Weiner, and they have a small child, a four-year-old boy, I believe, and she handled a lot of those emails. And what they've discovered is apparently 650,000 emails. Now, that's not just the State Department. That's all the emails that were on this computer, mainly of Anthony Weiner's laptop computer that he apparently shared with his wife. And when they were going through that, really looking for evidence of criminal behavior pertaining to Anthony Weiner, they found these emails that could provide additional information, evidence concerning the Clinton email case. And because FBI Director James Comey had told Congress that he's shutting the case down because he didn't have the evidence, or there was not enough evidence to prosecute Hillary Clinton, and no prosecutor would do that, even though many prosecutors said they would. And that's been it's an embarrassment to many career agents at the FBI. They think James Comey made a serious mistake. They're not happy with it, especially those that worked on the case. They do not agree with the decision that he didn't do the right thing. And you need to understand something, and I'll emphasize this right at the top because a lot of people are confused. The FBI does not indict people. They're in charge of, and what they do is investigate. And based on what they find, what evidence they find, they make a recommendation to the Department of Justice, or they don't make any recommendation and just give a summary of the evidence. It's really up to the Department of Justice to prosecute the case if, in their judgment, the evidence warrants. Normally, what you would do is take it to a grand jury, present the evidence, and then it's up to the grand jury to indict if the evidence warrants. A lot of people think that the FBI can arrest, well, they can arrest people, but they cannot charge or indict a person. Now, once a person has been charged, been indicted and charged, yes, they can arrest the person. And that's important to understand because James Comey is a career attorney. Where? Not at the FBI, in the Department of Justice. Yes, he was appointed to run the FBI by Obama, and he was a Republican. I don't know if he still is. And many people were disappointed with his decision in July not to prosecute. And I'm going to revisit that in a minute. What do I think's going on here? Apparently, something's about to break. Do I know what it is? No, I don't. But I emphasize there's two investigations going on. One is of the emails that we got a decision on that's in July. But the other was possible criminal behavior on the part of the Clinton Foundation, so-called pay for play, where foreign governments, heads of foreign governments, countries, were making significant contributions to the Clinton Foundation. It's a charitable foundation. And they also, not only heads of foreign nations, but also U.S. corporations, as well as foreign corporations, would hire Bill Clinton to give speeches, typically $100,000, $200,000 on up. Now, that's a lot of money for a speech, but he is the former president, and he is the husband of Hillary Clinton, and she might very well be elected next week, November 8th, as president of the United States. I don't think so, but that's another issue. When Comey made his announcement in July, what struck me, and that's why I'm going to replay it, I want you to listen to it, and it's available on YouTube. And I am going to play the whole thing straight because I want to refresh my memory and your memory. What he did not mention at all was the Clinton Foundation. It was strictly the emails because the concern there was laws were broken regarding, first of all, the handling of classified information. And the evidence is clear. She violated the law, and you don't have to prove intent. That's why people are upset that know the law. Some laws you definitely have to show intent, and if you can't show intent, you don't pursue it. No argument there. But there are laws pertaining to classified documents where intent is not an element that you have to show. Just the mere fact, for example, that you have classified material on your server and you've sent it and received it is a crime because there are separate systems, computer systems, for the distribution of classified information. And whoever receives it first has to notify others that he's received it. And it doesn't have to be marked. That's the other thing. Now, remember, what did Hillary Clinton has dragged this out, so she has no one to blame but herself. And first, she said there was no classified information on this, or documents. Yes, there were. And she kept on saying they weren't marked. Well, she signed an agreement with the federal government. It doesn't have to be marked. It's the content, not whether it has a mark on it, or legend, or stamp, that it's classified document. If you read it and are familiar with what's classified, not on its face, you know it's classified, especially if you're the Secretary of State, or should know. Let's put it this way, whether she does or not, that's still an open question. So the emails are back in the news, and James Comey is getting a lot of criticism from the Clinton campaign and being accused of interfering with an election, and which is against the law of a federal employee, but he's not. He's simply notifying Congress, and he had to do this because he told them he had closed the case, and now, let's say it's being reopened, if they find new evidence. Well, the immediate problem with 650,000 emails, first you're going to need people that have clearances if it involves Secretary of State Clinton's emails. It's just going to take a lot of time to first zero in on those emails pertaining to the State Department, and you're talking weeks, months. So there's no way he could make a determination one way or the other. This is not important or it's unimportant. He can't do it. And he was told that because someone's going to have to read and go through that. They're obviously going to sort based on the metadata. But it has the email address that Hillary Clinton set up account on her server instead of the Department of State address, although it does, this laptop computer does have files that are state.gov files. The other point was, since it's not related to the original search warrant they have to go back to court, and they most likely will and get a search warrant. Because if you discover evidence of another crime that's beyond the search warrant, you have to go back to the judge and expand it. And that's somewhat routine, except in this case, it's going to involve possibly the next president of the United States, Hillary Clinton. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see. So the Hillary Clinton campaign is quite upset that James Comey did this Friday about 1 o'clock, a little after 1, and they want an immediate disclosure of what he has. Well, first of all, the FBI doesn't do that. Two, she can't demand it. So it was a hollow, it's frankly being a drama queen. Oh, I know she's upset. If she had not set up her server, none of this would happen. And quite frankly, I think she'd have a much better chance of being elected president. That's why I say she has no one to blame but herself. So this story will be the story all weekend, probably going on, definitely going on to next week. I'm sure a lot of newspapers are on it. And my suspicion, and it's pure speculation on my part, Director Comey would not have done this unless there's a clear indication that there's evidence, and it could be explosive evidence in the sense that when you investigate a crime, you never know what piece of evidence will break the case. You simply don't, and it can come out of left field. And remember, Hillary Clinton destroyed 33,000 documents, and that happens to be a crime because they're government documents. They're not hers. They're government property. She didn't produce them. She didn't protect them. She destroyed them. So she's breaking many laws, and she is being protected by the Department of Justice and the President of the United States. And it's beginning to look that DOJ, Department of Justice, or the Justice Department, at least some of the people in that, might be obstructing justice. Because he needs to, or the FBI as an institution and the people working on the cases, need to pursue the evidence where it goes. And that could mean Hillary Clinton is innocent, which I doubt, but it could, or determine whether or not this is, in fact, new evidence. I suspect there are many, many duplicates. Many of these emails are not relevant at all to any criminal behavior. And at best, you get a preliminary indication just by the metadata. And that includes, you know, what's the subject, who were these emails sent to and or received from, and whether or not they were attachments. Remember, they found over 2,000 emails that contain classified information. This is not an isolated case. It's not a mistake. Now, Hillary Clinton has apologized. Well, I made a mistake. I apologize. Well, it's beyond a mistake, ma'am. You committed felonies. And the American people insist that no one is above the law, including you, and they don't agree with what FBI Director James Comey did, and they don't agree with the State Department. Not the State Department, the Department of Justice. So we certainly have not heard the last on the emails as well as the Clinton Foundation. And that was the one thing that was missing in July. No mention was made of the Clinton Foundation, nor was anything said about the immediate staff that was involved in this. Because someone had to put those classified informations in the email that they sent to her, and the same from her to whoever where these emails were sent. There's clearly a crime. Whether no one is going to investigate it or no one's going to pursue it is a separate matter. I've said on November 8, you'll get the verdict. If the American people think she's guilty of criminal behavior, they won't vote for her. And that includes Democrats. And that, I think, is the concern. This is definitely going to impact turnout of Democrats at the polls. Now, I'm somewhat on top of this, but I'm sure more information will be coming out Saturday, Sunday, Monday from various papers that are investigating various angles of this entire story. I'm going to play for you FBI Director James Comey's press conference where he recommended, the FBI recommends, no charges against Hillary Clinton. What do you think he's going to do? Is he going to recommend a criminal referral? I listened to it when he originally did this, and that was the conclusion I came to, and so did most people. I won't say everybody, but everyone that listened and listened closely was saying he's gonna recommend a criminal referral. They're going to indict her, and that's up to the Justice Department. FBI can't do that. They investigate, then they send the evidence over with a memo, with a recommendation, then it's up to the Department of Justice to evaluate it. And then based on their evaluation, either pursue a case or not. That's Attorney Lynch's responsibility. The FBI Director, James Comey.
Good morning. I'm here to give you an update on the FBI's investigation of Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email system during her time as Secretary of State. After a tremendous amount of work over the last year, the FBI is completing its investigation and referring the matter to the Department of Justice for a prosecutive decision. What I want to do today is three things. I want to tell you what we did, I want to tell you what we found, and I want to tell you what we're recommending to the Department of Justice. This is going to be an unusual statement in at least a couple of ways. First, I'm going to include more detail about our process than I ordinarily would, because I think the American people deserve those details in a case of intense public interest. And second, I have not coordinated this statement or reviewed it in any way with the Department of Justice or any other part of the government. They do not know what I'm about to say. But I want to start by thanking the FBI employees who did remarkable work in this case. Once you have a better sense of how much we have done, you will understand why I am so grateful and so proud of their work. So first, what we have done. This investigation began as a referral from the Intelligence Community Inspector General in connection with Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email server during her time as Secretary of State. The referral focused on whether classified information was transmitted on that personal system. Our investigation looked at whether there is evidence that classified information was improperly stored or transmitted on that personal system in violation of a federal statute that makes it a felony to mishandle classified information either intentionally or in a grossly negligent way, or a second statute making it a misdemeanor to knowingly remove classified information from appropriate systems or storage facilities. And consistent with our counterintelligence responsibilities, we have also investigated to determine if there is evidence of computer intrusion by nation states or by hostile actors of any kind. Now, I have so far used the singular term email server in describing the referral that began our investigation. It turns out to have been more complicated than that. Secretary Clinton used several different servers and administrators of those servers during her 4 years at the State Department. And she also used numerous mobile devices to send and to read email on that personal domain. As new servers and equipment were employed, older servers were taken out of service, stored, and decommissioned in various ways. Piecing all of that back together to gain as full an understanding as possible of the ways in which personal email was used for government work has been a painstaking undertaking, requiring thousands of hours of effort. For example, when one of Secretary Clinton's servers was decommissioned in 2013, the email software was removed. That didn't remove the email content, but it was like removing the frame from a huge unfinished jigsaw puzzle and then dumping all the pieces on the floor. The effect was that millions of email fragments ended up in the server's unused or slack space. We searched through all of it to understand what was there and what parts of the puzzle we could put back together again. FBI investigators also read all of the approximately 30,000 emails that Secretary Clinton provided to the State Department in 2014. Where an email was assessed as possibly containing classified information, the FBI referred that email to any government agency that might be an owner of that information, so that agency could make a determination as to whether the email contained classified information at the time it was sent or received, or whether there was reason to classify it now, even if the content had not been classified when it was first sent or received. And that's the process sometimes referred to as up-classifying. From the group of 30,000 emails returned to the State Department in 2014, 110 emails in 52 email chains have been determined by the owning agency to contain classified information at the time they were sent or received. 8 of those chains contained information that was top secret at the time they were sent. 36 of those chains contained secret information at the time. And 8 contained confidential information at the time. That's the lowest level of classification. Separate from those, about 2,000 additional emails were up-classified to make them confidential, Those emails had not been classified at the time that they were sent or received. The FBI also discovered several thousand work-related emails that were not among the group of 30,000 emails returned by Secretary Clinton to state in 2014. We found those emails in a variety of ways. Some had been deleted over the years, and we found traces of them on servers or devices that had been connected to the private email domain. Others we found by reviewing the archived government accounts of people who had been government employees at the same time as Secretary Clinton, including high-ranking officials at other agencies, folks with whom a Secretary of State might normally correspond. This helped us recover work-related emails that were not among the 30,000 that were produced to state. Still others we recovered from that painstaking review of the millions of email fragments dumped into the Slack space of the server that was decommissioned in 2013. With respect to the thousands of emails we found that were not among those produced to the State Department, agencies have concluded that three of those were classified at the time they were sent or received, one at the secret level and two at the confidential level. There were no additional top secret emails found. And finally, none of those we found have since been upclassified. I should add here that we found no evidence that any of the additional work-related emails were intentionally deleted in an effort to conceal them in some way. Our assessment is that, like many email users, Secretary Clinton periodically deleted emails, or emails were purged from her system when devices were changed. Because she was not using a government account or even a commercial account like Gmail, there was no archiving at all of her emails. So it's not surprising that we discovered emails that were not on Secretary Clinton's system in 2014 when she produced those 30,000-some emails to state. It could also be that some of the additional work-related emails that we've recovered were among those deleted as personal by her lawyers when they reviewed and sorted her emails for production in late 2014. The lawyers doing the sorting for Secretary Clinton in 2014 did not individually read the content of all of her emails, as we did for those available to us. Instead, they relied on header information, and they used search terms to try to find all work-related emails among the reportedly more than 60,000 that were remaining on her system at the end of 2014. It's highly likely that their search missed some work-related emails and that we later found them, for example, in the mailboxes of other officials or in the Slack space of a server. It's also likely that there are other work-related emails that they did not produce to state and that we did not find elsewhere and that are now gone because they deleted all emails they did not produce to state, and the lawyers then cleaned their devices in such a way as to preclude complete forensic recovery. We have conducted interviews and done technical examination to attempt to understand exactly how that sorting was done by her attorneys. Although we don't have complete visibility because we're not able to fully reconstruct the electronic record of that sorting, we believe our investigation has been sufficient to give us reasonable confidence there was no intentional misconduct in connection with that sorting effort. And of course, in addition to our technical work, we interviewed many people, from those involved in setting up the personal email system and maintaining the various iterations of Secretary Clinton's server, to staff members with whom she corresponded on email, to those involved in the email production to state, and finally, Secretary Clinton herself. Last, we have done extensive work to try to understand what indications there might be of compromise by hostile actors in connection with that personal email system. So that's what we've done. Now let me tell you what we found. Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. For example, seven email chains concerned matters that were classified at the top secret special access program at the time they were sent and received. Those chains involve Secretary Clinton both sending emails about those matters and receiving emails about those same matters. There is evidence to support a conclusion that any reasonable person in Secretary Clinton's position or in the position of those with whom she was corresponding about those matters should have known that an unclassified system was no place for that conversation. In addition to this highly sensitive information, we also found information that was properly classified as secret by the U.S. intelligence community at the time it was discussed on email. That is, excluding any later up-classified emails. None of these emails should have been on any kind of unclassified system, but their presence is especially concerning because all of these emails were housed on unclassified personal servers, not even supported by full-time security staff, like those found at agencies and departments of the United States government, or even with a commercial email service like Gmail. I think it's also important to say something about the marking of classified information. Only a very small number of the emails here containing classified information bore markings that indicated the presence of classified information. But even if information is not marked classified in an email, participants who know or should know that the subject matter is classified are still obligated to protect it. And while not the focus of our investigation, we also developed evidence that the security culture of the State Department, in general and with respect to the use of unclassified systems in particular, was generally lacking in the kind of care for classified information that's found elsewhere in the U.S. government. With respect to potential computer intrusion by hostile actors, we did not find direct evidence that Secretary Clinton's personal email domain, in its various configurations since 2009, was hacked successfully. But given the nature of the system and of the actors potentially involved, we assess we would be unlikely to see such direct evidence. We do assess that hostile actors gained access to the private commercial email accounts of people with whom Secretary Clinton was in regular contact from her personal account. We also assess that Secretary Clinton's use of a personal email domain was both known by a large number of people and readily apparent. She also used her personal email extensively while outside the United States, including sending and receiving work-related emails in the territory of sophisticated adversaries. Given that combination of factors, we assess it is possible that hostile actors gained access to Secretary Clinton's personal email account. So that's what we found. Finally, with respect to our recommendation to the Department of Justice, in our system, the prosecutors make the decisions about whether charges are appropriate based on evidence that the FBI helps collect. Although we don't normally make public our recommendations to the prosecutors, we frequently make recommendations and engage in productive conversations with prosecutors about what resolution may be appropriate, given the evidence. In this case, given the importance of the matter, I think unusual transparency is in order. Although there is evidence of potential violations of the statutes regarding the handling of classified information, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. Prosecutors necessarily weigh a number of factors before deciding whether to bring charges. There are obvious considerations like the strength of the evidence, especially regarding intent. Responsible decisions also consider the context of a person's actions and how similar situations have been handled in the past. In looking back at our investigations into the mishandling or removal of classified information, we cannot find a case that would support bringing criminal charges on these facts. All the cases prosecuted involved some combination of clearly intentional and willful mishandling of classified information, or vast quantities of information exposed in such a way as to support an inference of intentional misconduct, or indications of disloyalty to the United States, or efforts to obstruct justice. We do not see those things here. To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person who engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions, but that's not what we're deciding now. As a result, although the Department of Justice makes final decisions on matters like this, we are expressing to Justice our view that no charges are appropriate in this case. I know there will be intense public debate in the wake of this recommendation, as there was throughout the investigation. What I can assure the American people is that this investigation was done honestly, competently, and independently. No outside influence of any kind was brought to bear. I know there were many opinions expressed by people who are not part of the investigation, including people in government, But none of that mattered to us. Opinions are irrelevant. And they were all uninformed by insight into our investigation because we did our investigation the right way. Only facts matter. And the FBI found them here in an entirely apolitical and professional way. I couldn't be prouder to be part of this organization. Thank you very much.
Now, that was last July. The general sense of people that have reviewed it, and I reviewed it then, and I'm not going to review it again, that the conclusion didn't follow. And that's why many people, including me, suspect, can't prove it, that great pressure was brought by the Attorney General and the President through the Attorney General not to go forward and seek an indictment through a grand jury, which is the normal way it's done. In other words, the fix was in. Because what he told us is she had classified material on her server. But what have we learned since? The President had sent and received emails from Hillary Clinton from that server. The President knew. President's her boss. She serves at the pleasure of the President of the United States. He was aware because he sent emails to her prior to learning in March, I forget the exact date, when the public learned for the first time, thanks to the Benghazi committee picking up on the fact that she was using not state.gov server, but her own server. Now let's talk a minute about intent. Why would anyone set up this server? Because that is not the procedures, the rules, in any government department, even though she's Secretary of State. The only reason, and the one she was trying to say, well, it was for convenience. She was only using one device. Well, that's another lie. There's a series of statements that she's made that become lies, lies, and lies. She was using multiple devices, multiple servers. And the first thing is to keep the information that she was, and remember, this is government business that she was doing on that server when she was communicating to and from people in the State Department and other departments, including the President of the United States. She didn't want the Freedom of Information Act to apply, FOIA, because the press can and other entities can ask Freedom of Information requests regarding documents pertaining to a subject. And it's critical to learn, back in March, Congress, the Benghazi committee, sent a subpoena as well as a protection order that any emails that she had should be turned over regarding Benghazi to the committee. Yet she destroyed, or had destroyed, thousands of documents. That in and of itself is a crime, but he doesn't act. The FBI director didn't act until he got a letter referring this matter to him after this event. In questioning, it came out, and the chairman of the oversight committee, Chaffetz, he got his letter a couple of days later. Now we're 8 days away from knowing who the next president is. What do you think is going to be the impact of this memo? Well, one was what I thought was interesting and somewhat ridiculous, but here is a pattern. Whenever Hillary Clinton is caught in a lie, her standard practice is to just tell another lie, deny it and tell another lie. One reaction to James Comey sending this was that he only sent it to the Republican members. It's clear on the face of the memo that that's not true. It was sent both to the Republican and Democratic members of the various committees, the Committee of the Judiciary, the Subcommittee of Commerce, Justice, Science, Related Matters, the Select Committee on Intelligence, the Committee on the Judiciary, the Committee on Appropriations, Subcommittee on Commerce, Justice, Science, and Related Matters. You can just see that that's not true. Now, why would she do that? To give people the impression that this was a partisan matter when it wasn't. But I got a hold of this memo. Matter of fact, I'm going to read it. Dear Chairman Multiple, in previous congressional testimony, I referred to the fact that the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, has completed its investigation of former Secretary Clinton's personal email server. Due to recent developments, I am writing to supplement my previous testimony, because he was called by Congress to testify on his decision. It continues, in connection with an unrelated case, the FBI has learned of the existence of emails that appear to be pertinent to the investigation. In other words, they got new evidence. They haven't gone through it yet, And it continues, I am writing to inform you that the investigative team briefed me on this yesterday. In other words, he sent the letter within 24 hours of being briefed on it. And the letter continues, and I agreed that the FBI should take appropriate investigative steps designed to allow investigators to review these emails to determine whether they contain classified information as well as to assess their importance to our investigation. Although the FBI cannot yet assess whether or not this material may be significant, and I cannot predict how long it will take us to complete the additional work, I believe it is important to update your committee about our efforts in light of my previous testimony. James Comey was put in a box. He had to go for it, or this would have been leaked. I suspect that they're not. The FBI doesn't have to tell anyone, including Congress and the general public, what it's doing. But it'd be if he did not do this and it came out after the election that they had significant evidence, it would have hit the fan and it would have leaked. You better believe it would have leaked because there's more or less an open revolt in the FBI. Comey has had many, many resignations of agents because of his decision. Because many people simply didn't believe he did the right thing. He should have sent the evidence over and said it's up to the Attorney General and the Department of Justice to make a decision on it. He didn't have to do what he did. Now, why do you think he did it? He didn't want to be the one to, if you will, eliminate Hillary Clinton for first getting the nomination and second of all, possibly becoming president. See, what he should have done is recommend a criminal referral. He didn't take that step. He should have made her, the Attorney General, have to make that decision. I don't think it would have changed. The Department of Justice pressure, political pressure, was brought to bear. The fix is in. And like I said, I still believe between now and January 20th, Barack Obama will pardon Hillary Clinton over the email situation and most likely the Clinton Foundation ramifications. Once that happens, everything stops if she accepts the pardon. And if she's not elected president, I think she will accept the pardon. And even if she is, she might accept the pardon if it was forthcoming. Why, I understand that the Clinton campaign is upset. It gets back to what was happening. She was dragging this out, dragging it out, so she could get the nomination and maybe even get elected. And she was lying about it. There was classified information both received and sent. That's why people that are familiar with the proper handling of both government documents and classified government documents and know the various statutes or laws involved clearly understand if it were anybody else, this is not the way it would have been handled. There would have been a recommendation to the Justice Department that they pursue charging and indicting her on multiple counts of breaking the law. And that's what many Americans, I would say tens of millions of Americans, have concluded. The Democrats are ignoring this. It's not an issue with them. But it is an issue with people that believe the President of the United States, at least initially, should have some integrity. And there's been a long pattern of scandal, dishonesty, skirting the laws by both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. And the fact that this is resurface, especially during that same week, we're getting more insight into the campaign through the emails of John Podesta that were hacked into and now WikiLeaks is publishing. And don't forget the videos of Project Veritas. And I'm expecting another one. I have not seen a fourth video yet. Let's cut to the chase. What is the impact, if any, note I said if any, on this race? As I said in the last show, momentum has shifted to Donald Trump because of Obamacare, because of WikiLeaks, and those videos. This will even add more momentum, and I suspect by next Wednesday, Donald Trump in the polls will be leading. Not all polls. The key, as I've repeatedly said, is to get 270 electoral votes. As of right now, Donald Trump is definitely behind Hillary Clinton until this announcement had clearly over 300. You only need 270. And Donald Trump was over 100 electoral votes short. As new polls come out, reflecting the swing of a momentum prior to Comey's announcement. And now with Comey's announcement, I think Trump will pull ahead. And why the Clinton campaign is trying to do damage control and accuse Comey of interfering in elections, it's not gonna work. Given the circumstances, I think he had no choice. Because if he tried to wait until after the election to disclose this, he would have been criticized by the Republicans. So we live in interesting times. Will this change people's votes, especially since many people, over 20 million people, have already voted? We have a very high turnout in Texas on early voting. It looks like it'll be over 130 million people, maybe as high as 140 million voting this time. It comes down to the small percentage, and I think it's less than 10, that have not made up their mind, and why this might influence them to some degree. I think what's going on here is who will go out to vote. Trump supporters are going to be out voting, and they're going to be trying to convince people to vote for Trump. They're very enthusiastic. That's the word you'll hear. They're passionate about their candidate, Donald Trump. I'm not. I'm not voting. I've decided, thank you, but no thank you. I'm no longer voting for either a Democrat or a Republican because you get the same result. It's more and more big government, no urgency to deal with the very pressing problems we have in terms of out-of-control government spending and what's driving that, its entitlements, its welfare programs, as well as departments that should have long ago been closed. And neither the Democratic Party nor the Republican Party, with a few exceptions, and I mean very few, are talking about this. It's a lot of talk and very little walk. So until we have a new third party that's successful, viable, national, at all levels, city, state, county, as well as congressional district, Senate, even presidential, I don't see much changing in Washington, D.C. As long as you have a huge government, you will have corruption. And what the Clinton Foundation, WikiLeaks, memos are showing, the Clintons are at it. Really, I don't think they ever stop. Engaged in activities that have been described as pay for play. In other words, if you want access to the maybe future president of the United States, you need to make significant contributions to the Clinton Foundation. And then how did this work? Bill Clinton's number one staff person would call Hillary Clinton's number one staff person and arrange for appointments or whatever the matter was. Was there a quid pro quo? Now they're denying it. If there was, that's another violation of the law. I would say, as others have said, just the fact that they got the appointment, that's the quid pro quo. They gave money to the Clinton Foundation. They gave money to Bill Clinton to give speeches. And because of that, they got the appointment. That is the tough area that you got to prove. And it's not an easy case to make. It's even more difficult if the leadership of the Department of Justice wants it closed, and they want this closed. They want Hillary Clinton elected president. Notice, nothing was said about the Clinton Foundation in that 17-minute conference, press conference that James Comey, the FBI director, gave. Nor was any mention of the other people involved, namely Hillary Clinton's key assistants at the Department of State. I believe that the Clinton Foundation investigation is ongoing. Remember, he closed out the email part of it. He didn't close out the public corruption aspect, and that's what's rearing its head. And that's why it's speculation on my part. He knows something significant is about to happen. I don't think it's going to be before the election for the simple reason it's going to take him weeks, months to go through all that email and sort it out. And then even when you sort it out, then you got to be familiar with what you're looking at. And they have to have clearances if it involves highly classified documents. And it does. It's going to take more like months before we really know what's here. But what else is happening? Everyone is focused on Anthony Weiner's laptop that he shared with Huma Abedin and his wife. They're still investigating the Clinton Foundation. And those WikiLeaks emails are being looked at. And they're, at least the New York office, probably the Arkansas office, are looking into it, probably others as well. There's a silence there. Because if they find clear evidence of public corruption, then we could have a situation where the American people elect a president of the United States that maybe even before she's sworn in could be indicted. Now, do I think it's going to happen? No. What have I been saying for months? She's going to get a pardon. And this whole investigation goes down the drain. Doesn't mean she's not guilty. So it's really up to the American people. If you don't want Hillary Clinton to be your next president, well, you're going to have to go out and vote November 8th and pick someone else. And the only one that has a chance of stopping her is Donald Trump, and definitely has a better chance as a result of this letter sent to various committees in Congress. This is a very good case of where you don't do the right thing, you end up doing a lot of other actions, including this, that just complicates the matter even more. You better believe the Democrats are not happy, as is the Hillary Clinton campaign, because this hurts not only her chances of getting elected president, it also hurts the chances of others being reelected, either to their House seats or the Senate seats. So I can see why the Democrats are upset, but it always gets back. None of this would have happened. You didn't have to nominate Hillary Clinton. If the fix weren't in, she never would have been. She's the worst candidate that them in my memory. I mean, she's worse than Jimmy Carter, and that's saying a lot. And frankly, she's definitely worse than Barack Obama, and that's saying a lot. She's not a good campaigner. When you combine that with being wrong on the issues, from my perspective, the only people that are going to vote for are the Kool-Aid drinkers of the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party has become very much a far-left party. And that's been going on for over 30, 40 years. And the American people are wising up. The American people are not at all in agreement in the way, the direction this country is going to. What amazes me is the fact that Barack Obama's popularity or approval rating has stayed as high as it is. I thought by now it'd be in the 30s, if not lower. So he's smiling. He's probably very happy because he's going to be playing a lot of golf in less than 90 days. Think about that. November, December. At 61, 60 plus 20, less than 12 weeks, he'll be former president. Then I'm sure he's going to make some money and play a lot of golf. I'm looking forward to that. I am not looking forward to whoever is the next president. Why Donald Trump is significantly better than Hillary Clinton, at his core, he's a liberal Democrat. He's not a conservative. He's another big government Republican. Now, many of his positions conservatives agree on, specifically the protection of the Second Amendment as well as the First Amendment, the Bill of Rights. But by his various position papers as well as his address that I went over, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday show, he's an interventionist. He believes government should solve many problems that I do not believe government should be involved in at all. Government is the problem. It's not the solution. And more and more government spending is just continuing down that road to a socialist state, the road to serfdom, where your freedoms and liberties are going to be restricted. I still believe Donald Trump is going to get elected. I think this time next week, the polls will clearly indicate that why the race is still close, especially because while I think Donald Trump has a very good chance to win the popular vote, it's going to be real close in regard to the 270 you need for the Electoral College. Donald Trump needs to win Florida. He needs to win Pennsylvania. He needs to win Ohio. He needs to win North Carolina and a few other states to get to 270. He's slightly ahead in Florida. I think he'll win Florida. I think he'll win Ohio. Pennsylvania, I'm not sure of. And I think North Carolina is rougher. In other words, it'd be real close. Largely because it's a large percentage of the population are black there. Then you have Colorado and Nevada. Again, close races. I think he could win Nevada. Colorado, I don't know. And then you have Utah, where you have a Mormon running that could spoil it. Trump, last time I checked, was close, if not winning that. I don't recall. You need to get back to the basic question, though. Is this going to change the undecided vote? My answer to that is a tentative yes, but not in a major way. I think what this is going to have the greatest impact on are Democratic voters that may now sit home. They just simply are disgusted with Hillary Clinton and the fact that she could be a president under indictment, maybe impeached, but not convicted. And they would be electing someone that has a reputation for being corrupt, a liar, can't trust. And would you want, in your mind, saying, I voted for? I think there are many Democrats with integrity that won't vote against Hillary Clinton, namely they won't vote for Donald Trump, but they will stay home. It's very much going to be a replay of what happened to Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney lost because conservatives and libertarians stayed home. They had figured out that Mitt Romney was a flip-flopper and a progressive Republican, and he was the candidate that the Democratic Party definitely wanted to get the nomination because they knew they could beat him, and they did. Oh, yes, he was a gentleman, a nice guy, but he would not fight when he won the first debate. He did not win the second and third, and he more or less choked, as Trump says. He played defense. And you don't win the presidency by playing defense. You got to want it and you got to fight for it. And if you're not willing to do that, you made a big mistake wasting your time getting the nomination as well as money. The Democrats will do to any Republican candidate what they did to Mitt Romney and what they have done to a much easier target, namely, or at least they thought, Donald Trump. So we'll see Monday what else falls out. I think we'll get greater insight as to what's going on. But I don't think this is going to have much impact on the undecided. I think the impact will be twofold. One, on Democratic voters that will stay home. They've just had enough of the Clintons. And then it will have an impact on the Trump supporters that are his big supporters. They will not stay home. They will vote. So net net, there will be, in a close race, that's important, especially in very close races. And I think this will have some impact on the other candidates on the ticket. Overall, it definitely is a positive and rather surprising turn of events that favors the Republican Party, Donald Trump, and those running on the Republican ticket. And yes, the Democrats will holler, scream, but they're not going to get any sympathy from anybody. So in a very close race, is this a potential tiebreaker? Yes, it is. And when you add other things that are happening, namely Obamacare, WikiLeaks, the fallout from that, together with Project Veritas, especially if it has some more damning videos. All that tells me, my instincts, is Donald Trump will be the next president. The only one that can stop him right now, in my mind, is Donald Trump. If he gets off message, and what he should do right now is point this out. But right now, the news organizations are focused on what? Hillary Clinton and James Comey. And what is the FBI doing? I don't think we've heard but a peek at what's happening. Public corruption is a lot easier to understand, although it's not as clearly open and shut as mishandling of classified documents, as well as government documents. Keep in mind, over 33,000 emails were destroyed, and that in of itself is a crime. He didn't do the right thing. He bowed to pressure from the Department of Justice. He's a politician, a Republican politician, but a career politician, attorney in the Department of Justice. He's not a career FBI agent, and he's getting letters of resignation. And the people, dedicated agents at the FBI, are not happy with James Comey. He has another 6 years out of his 10-year term, and I would not be surprised if a President Trump asked him to resign. Now, he doesn't have to resign. Now, if you ask me what should happen, Trump's already suggested it. They should have an independent prosecutor, independent of the Department of Justice, independent of the FBI, investigate this. That's what should happen. Will it happen? Not under a Democratic president. You better believe it won't happen. But that's what should happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't at all trust the Department of Justice, and I don't trust the FBI. It's been politicized. Its reputation has been damaged. It's not irreparable, but I can see where many people that have made a career in the FBI have decided to leave. They've lost confidence in James Comey, as have many of his friends. And I think we'll find out a lot more as to what's going on in the coming weeks. We'll get some stories next week, I'm sure, giving us a little bit more details. But I think we're just seeing the tip of the iceberg. And that's why I played that James Comey announcement. Notice nothing about the Clinton Foundation, nothing about the staff. And why did Hillary Clinton do it? She's covering up, not only to avoid Freedom of Information Act or FOIA request, but her criminal activity. She believes she's above the law, and the American people get that distinct impression, and they don't like it. They believe in the rule of law, and they don't think anybody should be above the law, and that includes former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. So stay tuned, and one brief announcement. I hope to catch up on my post-production But I have several other pressing matters, so I might not be able to, as previously promised, catch up. But I'll do my best, and I'll have him posted as soon as possible. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.